And here we go. You wouldn't get it, episode
32.
32 of them. I mean, that is, it feels like a milestone.
32 weeks.
32 weeks in a row without missing. We got 20 more than we complete the year around the globe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But welcome to the pod. You wouldn't get episode 32. Phone number reminder, 215-278-8898. The questions have been coming in at a pretty consistent rate, which we're happy with.
Yeah.
So let's hop right into our first segment, Chris, and that is our controversial topic and opinion.
Oh, didn't you want to tell them about to check out our skits?
Yeah, check out our skits, too. I just saw that. Check out our skits because they will be plentiful.
Yeah, we put them on TikTok. So if you want to see our little skits that don't have anything to do with the pod, but we do for fun, check it out on our TikTok at You Wouldn't Get It Pod. Right?
We're also on Instagram.
Yep.
Correctamundo. So our controversial topic slash opinion for today is what's better, film or TV?
Yeah, and this is like a highly debated one. And we were talking about this last night, and we were making some good points on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, I was arguing, like, movies because I think it's really hard in 2, 3, even an hour and a half to make a really good movie.
Yeah.
And, like, a good-ass movie that you want to rewatch and, like, you kind of build a, you know,
yeah,
like
relationship
with, like the characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah, you connect with them. I think that TV allows you to connect with a character
for
deeper
sure.
because there's just more time. But film does it in a way that's more strategic and therefore, I think, more rewarding. You only see the parts of the character that you need to.
I agree. But, like, then you look at the other side, and it's, like, in a TV show, it's pretty hard to make a really good TV show. Like, you have, what, like, anywhere from, like, 3 to 10 seasons or more.
Yeah.
And make, and whoever, 10-plus episodes per season, and to keep people still watching is pretty impressive as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Now, with that said, there is a lot of what I feel to be, it's not white noise, but it's, like, blank space almost during TV shows. They have some episodes.
Yes,
that,
I agree. Yeah.
You know, that you're like, I feel like I was not robbed of my time, but I feel like this wasn't necessary to the story. I feel like it was almost not a money grab, but similar to that. You know what I mean?
No, no, that's a good point. Like, some episodes I'm watching, and I'm like, why does it just feel like it's like dragging on when we just like get to the point? Like, not that you don't want to build up that, like, you know what I mean? Like, that climax, that character arc, but sometimes it does feel like they're like, or like, literally, we're in the studio, like, what can we put here to fill in time?
Yeah, exactly. Some shows that I don't feel like do that.
Game of Thrones.
Succession. Game of Thrones.
Some people argue towards the end they did, but.
And I think any TV show has to do it because you probably get to the point where you say, okay, we have this climax at the end. We're here at the beginning.
That's a good point. I guess Game of Thrones, the first like couple episodes of each season kind of felt like that.
It's hard to push a story forward, number one. It's even harder when you're also trying to make it funny.
Yeah, no, for sure. Know? Succession, that's a great example. I agree.
Because a lot of times what's funny in a narrative, whether it's a film or TV, is the fact that a character can't get what they want. And that's what we find funny. For example, this is season one Succession, but when Kendall can't take control of the company and he starts to sort of fall into a downward spiral, it is a bit humorous, some of the stuff that he's doing. But you wouldn't be able to... I don't even know where I'm going with this point.
Oh, okay. I think what you were trying to say was that, like, even, like, in... What season are we on now? 4?
4 is coming out probably.
Yeah,
like
in 3 seasons, it's still the same kind of story, but somehow entertaining.
Yeah. No, it is.
Like, Kendall can't take over, like...
Roman
can't, and Shiv can't.
It's,
like, but it's still good. Entertaining to me.
It's good writing. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you got to keep the story... It's a masterclass in writing.
Yeah, I go back and forth, too, because, like, sometimes I want to just watch a movie,
like,
watch it, and then by the end of it, I get the point, I understand it, like, there's no more strings attached.
Yeah.
But other times, you're like, damn, like, I want to build that relationship with the character in the TV, like, in, like, a TV show more, so you want that dragged-out thing. But sometimes that can feel daunting, too, having to watch 10 seasons of a TV show. So I could see how, I could go either way with this, you know what I mean?
I do like when TV... You can actually tell that the story needed that much time to progress. A great
100%.
Example, I know you haven't seen it, was Breaking Bad, but we would have never been able to see the progression of Walter White in a movie.
Yeah.
It would be too hard. They tried to do it. I mean, they made a few movies regarding or involving Breaking Bad, and they still, I don't think, do it justice.
Yeah.
That's a series that I think needs TV to be as successful as it was. But a movie that we just watched, like Leon the Professional, doesn't it just feel like you'd want to watch? It gives it more rewatch value, whereas TV shows need to build up a lot more to give it rewatch value.
100%. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'll sit here. I'm happy to rewatch Leon, even if it's the same story, because there's mm-hmm. things I can pick up on. In a TV show, it's like, okay, I've seen so much of this character that honestly, I don't know how much more I need.
I'm trying to think if there's ever, the only TV show I ever rewatch is probably Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, I rewatch Peaky Blinders.
I don't know if there's anything, like Game of Thrones, I'll throw on an episode, that's it. I don't like rewatching TV shows, and Sopranos.
Oh, we rewatch Stranger Things.
Stranger Things too, yeah. Which are like some of the best shows I think ever made. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an art form. Here's what I'll say. I'm glad that both are still being made. I'm glad that we haven't picked one or the other, because there's so much value in both. I on my couch saw Licorice Pizza, and that's a great movie. Paul Thomas Anderson is a great filmmaker, and he makes that. That's his art form, and he does it in great style, whereas someone goes and maybe makes a TV show that we're waiting to come out for, like you said, Stranger Things Season 4, and it's like, I'm just glad that both of them are being made. We haven't fallen to one side or the other.
And also to wrap it up, wouldn't you say that there's like a difference between like actors in TV shows and actors in movies? Like, does that make any sense? Like, some actors are built for TV shows, I feel like, mm-hmm. and some are built for movies. Like, James Gandolfini, I think, is the best TV show actor of all time.
What do you think that is?
That, I mean, that might be biased, but, like, I've seen his movies, and he's okay in them.
What do you think that is? Is that there?
I think it's the script, kind of, part of it. Like the show, for sure.
Yeah, because a lot of times it's hard to judge actors on that, because they really work with what they're given.
For sure, 100%. But you get what I'm saying? Like, some actors are like... Like, Cillian Murphy's a fantastic TV show actor.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he's not a great example because I like him and other stuff. But you get my point. Like,
yeah.
When I think of him, that's the first thing I think of, that and Scarecrow.
It's just a different medium,
but... See Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's great. Speaking of movies, guys, this time next week, it'll be a day before I shoot for my first movie. So, excited. Chris heard me on a phone call before this. A lot to get done, but keep an eye out for it. Daisy is coming soon.
Yeah, for sure. Want to get into our headlines that caught our eyes?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, I'll take the first one.
The first one was, we had Coachella 2022, so it was the weekends of April 17th and the 19th, and also the 10th to the 12th. A lot of celebrities there. Like we said in the past, the news has been sort of dry. I'm not sure what it is, but this large gathering of... Chris and I were talking about it. We don't really know what Coachella is. Do you know what Coachella is?
No. We were talking about like how like I've heard of all these festivals. Like there's like Firefly and all these crazy ones. And like I've at least heard of people going to them. But Coachella is one that like the only people I know who go to them are like movie stars, these influencers. I don't know anyone else who goes to them. So I feel like it's some weird scheme going on.
It's definitely a secret cult for lizard people.
No, I honestly wouldn't doubt it. Like some weird ritual. Like there's some weird stuff going on there.
Because
and everyone there looks like they're out of their minds on something. Like, I mean, I guess it is a festival vibe, but.
Maybe it's just my experience with social media, but I don't see much documentation of it.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
It almost seems like a facade has been put on.
I agree. Like, if you told me that these, like, influencers were just standing in front of, like, cardboard boxes with, like, paint on the background, I'd believe it.
So I saw a video also of Timothy Chalamet. Looked a bit banged up, I can't lie. Was obviously avoiding the camera that was projected his way. But
Was he just in the crowd?
No, he was in a more VIP...
That's what I was wondering, because, like, all these influencers, are they just in the crowd, or, like, how does that work?
He was in a VIP higher section. Do you think, Chris, on average, because obviously the celebrities in sort of the peak of pop culture, they look great, they perform great. How often do you think that they use substances?
That's an interesting question.
Because I feel like we look at them to be perfect because that's how it's propagated by the media.
No, I'd say a lot of them. I put it at 60% of them, 65%. Are using some crazy stuff. I'm not counting like alcohol and marijuana. I'll give like that like 90% of them.
You think 65% in today's day and age?
Yeah, no, I'd say a lot of them like have like drug problems for sure.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
See, I guess I might be a little naive, but I feel like there has been sort of a push towards mental health and overall well-being. And it's not the 70s or the 80s. I don't even know if I'm quoting the right time frames.
I don't want to say actors' names on here for... defamation purposes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's no actual, like, this isn't written in stone. But, like, there's a lot of actors I can name off the top of my head that just through, like, doing some digging on Twitter and stuff, I had no clue, but they had, like, crazy cocaine and, like, all kinds of problems. That I was like, what? She or he was in my favorite, like, movie as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really more low-key than you probably expect.
But that's what I'm saying. It was when you were, more so when we were kids. Now I think there's sort of been a push. I could be wrong.
No. I'm talking about actors now, but, like, I've seen movies of them when I was kids, and I'm like, holy crap, that's like, they were freaking in Princess Diaries. I'm just making that up. But
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, there's a ton of different theories. I don't want to get into them because most of them are outlandish about what substances people use for high performance. But
what about Jim Carrey? I feel like he does nothing.
Jim Carrey.
He seems like a great guy.
There's a lot, Chris. There's a lot on Jim Carrey that I don't even feel comfortable bringing up on the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's facts. I already know what you're talking about. Like, there's a lot of,
with
that,
his,
like,
girlfriend?
Yeah, with his girlfriend, and with, like, Hollywood trying to, like, kind of silence him.
Yeah.
His girlfriend. Some crazy theories.
Passed away, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And I think there was, I think one way or another, it was.
I already know what you're going with this.
Yeah. I don't want to say it, because I don't want them after me.
Speaking of actors, the only big thing on the news is Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial right now.
Well, also, and Ezra Miller.
Yeah. Oh, Ezra Miller, too, yeah. But, like, all I'm saying is if Johnny Depp wins the lawsuit, Amber Heard's ruined it for people who really have, like, like, assault problems with, like, men. Like, that's messed up, so.
Yeah.
Really good for him, too. Like,
if you're
like she was the abuser. But I'll leave it at that. We'll leave it up to the courts. But
yeah, for sure. If you're not familiar, there's currently a domestic violence trial going on between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
No. That got dropped. This is a defamation trial.
Okay, so now that was,
like,
dropped.
He lost all his movies that he was in, and she got to keep all hers. So he's like, dude, like, the only company that stayed with him was Dior. And it's looking like he was innocent. So now he's like suing her for $50 million for defamation.
I wonder why Dior, like, chose to stay with him.
Hey, man, I respect the loyalty.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And also Ezra Miller, who I believe was in The Perks of Being a Wallflower and also played The Flash recently.
Yeah, he played Flash, yep.
He's been in some trouble. Ezra Miller.
And he's in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah,
he's been getting in trouble, like, fights in Hawaii and stuff.
Dude, I don't understand.
Yeah, he's definitely on drugs.
Chris, I think I think that what we both agree on is that if we were to, I don't think we've talked about this before. We're not singly focused on fame or anything like that. But if we were to acquire at least a small level of it, I just feel like I'd be able to manage my emotions more.
I think we're a lot more grounded than some of these people.
Is crazy because you look at them and you're like, okay, Sean Penn made a great point on a podcast that I heard earlier in the year where he said, just because actors are really good at one thing doesn't mean they're great at everything.
That's a great point, yeah.
You know?
And some of them were child stars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't imagine being brought up in the limelight and then, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, at our age, we're, like, a little more understanding. So, there's a little bit of a difference I could see, you know?
Yeah.
But
back to, like, wrap it up with Coachella.
Oh, man. We have Alcella.
Isn't that
what it's called?
There's something at Temple called Alcella, and Jack Harlow and Sway Lee are actually going, and Chris and I are going. It's tomorrow night.
Yeah. So you might see some skits on TikTok of us.
Keep your eyes out.
Let's just say I'm trying to get Jack Harlow's attention at all costs.
Yeah. Jack Harlow will be on the pod next weekend.
Yeah.
You can believe that. Our first guest.
I want to see some ass.
Baby, can you throw away a bag?
First class.
First class. I want to hear what you guys think of the song First Class, because great.
It grew on me a little bit more, actually. It's still a little underwhelming, but it's a lot better now.
I actually like his verses.
I don't mind it either anymore. At first, I didn't like it.
We're catering right to your wants and needs, Jack.
We're gonna have Jack Harlow and Drewski on this pod next week.
Let's get now. At some point, I will manifest that we will have them on here.
Yeah, I agree.
We have a very much a change of course with our next article, Chris. What is it?
Inflation, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
man,
unreal.
The silent killer, right?
Isn't silent, silent but deadly. It's like a fart.
Oh my God! Yeah, it is. Like I'm like putting $5 in my tank at a time.
It's unreal out here.
And
they ain't, the inflation ain't.
What
headed.
Did we get? We said somewhere we got it was
8.5%.
I've heard higher.
In my finance class, they were saying 11.5.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, closer to 11, which is pretty nuts.
Unreal.
Yeah, but it's so believable. Like, look at the price of, like, food.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to the grocery store.
I was in...
I'm getting killed over here.
Chipotle's raising theirs.
Oh, God.
Dude, I was in a small grocery store the other day. You'll know which one I'm talking about to get fruit. That isn't an actual grocery store.
Oh, my.
Store.
Oh, that grocery store is overpriced.
A bag of grapes was $8.
No. Like, a 4-ounce little pint of blueberries was $6 or $7. But if you go to the store and actually buy them, like, in, like, a little bit bigger of a thing, it's cheaper.
Is it?
Insane, yeah.
I don't know why I even go
boutique
there.
Boutique stores are too much, dude.
It's crazy, and it's not even that.
I'd rather shoot my immune system.
We were talking about this. You can't get a T-shirt for $20 anymore.
Oh, that's facts. If we were in our school store yesterday getting our caps and gowns.
Which are inflated in themselves.
I wanted to talk about the price of them. I've heard that Tom paid double and more for his.
That's insane.
But we won't talk about the price.
College is really trying to squeeze.
No, we're looking at, like, we were just looking at, like, T-shirts. And we were like, that's a cool shirt. I was like, bet it's $40. It was like $35 for a damn T-shirt. I could have sworn back in the day, like 4 years ago, it was like $20, $25 for a T-shirt. Literally. Like, it doesn't even make sense anymore. $40 for a T-shirt?
It's crazy.
That's what, like, a crew neck used to be, like a long sleeve. They're like $70 now.
How much do you think you
have? A hoodie's going to be $100.
How much do you think you have to make? What is the new 100K? Is it 150K?
No, I kind of agree. Like, the new 100K now is like $60.
Yeah.
Like, 100K is going to be like the bare minimum, like, pretty soon.
Pretty soon, the way things are inflating.
Yeah.
I mean,
But the sad part is the salaries really aren't increasing that much with inflation.
No.
So that's the problem.
And and I'm not sure how much employers are talking about it.
Yeah,
because
they don't.
It's got to be tough on them too, not to be like, oh, you know.
Well, a thing I learned is what employers will convince you is, like, they'll give you raises at most companies every year, but it's 2 to 3%, and people are like, oh, great. But, like, when you really think about it, if, like, inflation is even 5% or more a year, like, your raise is not.
You're losing money.
Exactly. Yeah, like, it doesn't meet inflation, so you're really losing money at the end of the day. And if you don't invest, you're really getting screwed.
Do you think, speaking of investing and just this overall, do you think there's another financial crisis headed for us, U.S.?
Well, I'm not a financial advisor, so it's hard to say.
None of this is financial advice.
Yeah, you got to preface that. Yeah.
None of it. Just
there's
talking
definitely,
shop.
I think when you have a pandemic and you had Trump and Biden both pass packages that were well over $1 trillion, I'm not going to blame either or.
Yeah.
I think when you put that much money and print it out and put it in the economy, you're definitely going to be expecting inflation, some sort of bubble arising.
There's a bubble.
I've heard a housing bubble. I've heard the economic a bubble. So, I mean, it's hard to say, but I would say it's very likely, yes.
I heard that this was a metric a while ago, but 40%, back in November of 2021, 40% of all the money circulating through the economy was printed within the last 12 months.
I believe that 100%.
That's unreal.
Trillions of dollars were printed in these bills. And some of the bills I think were needed, and some I don't. I'll just leave it at that. But
and you know what's tough is that this technological advancement is occurring at the same time as the inflation. So you have non-fungible tokens, NFTs coming out, and digital currency. And then you have the pressure of people saying, oh, you have to get in because you're losing money if you don't.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, man, can we go back to the 70s when there was just, I don't even know if it was the 70s, but the 1920s?
Yeah, we talked about this last episode. Like, how much is too much innovation?
Really?
Like, actually. And I kind of agree with that.
I don't know if I want to be in a pod pretending that I'm in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I'd rather
we got a green screen, but I mean,
we could put whatever we want back here.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's
you start to lose that personable, like personal connection. Kinda,
yeah,
right.
I think there's a crisis coming and a crash.
For sure,
and that's not.
Are we talking about like technology or the economy right now? Because now I'm confused.
I'm not well versed enough to make a poignant, firm opinion on anything.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think 99% of people don't actually.
Yeah, and that's the problem is the 1%.
But I was just looking at it from when you pump trillions of dollars in, I'll leave it at that. I'll assume something not great arises from
there's a bubble right now for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And it's going to pop.
Yeah, but yeah, not to harp too much on that. We're not financial advisors, but we just thought it'd be funny to bring it up.
And not to get negative on you guys, but
no.
Sometimes you gotta look for the facts.
We're going to lighten it up though, right?
Oh, yeah, we got a reaction segment that we hold near and dear to our hearts. This one, not only is it great, Chris, to just read these and laugh and sort of almost take the pressure off us a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, these perform well on the TikTok.
They do. It performs well on the TikTok, and it also makes me realize that we aren't so crazy after all.
Yes.
That there are insane people in the world.
Yes.
Right?
Because we might be crazy and tell people that, you know, we wish we were Artie Fleck or something, but at least we're not doing some of the stuff you're about to hear. So, Chris, why don't you take the first reaction here? Yeah. The first article that we're going to react to. Guys, if you aren't aware, we get these from Ask Reddit. Great, great resource.
Yeah. So the reactions we're reacting to this week, weirdest things to happen at a friend's house that they thought was normal. So right when I read this to Steve, really, I can only imagine what's going to come next.
Yeah.
So this is one story. They walked around nude at home 24/7. My friend invited me over to play Nintendo after school. When he had gotten in, he stripped down butt-ass naked and went to make a sandwich. Everyone else was already bare-ass and loitering?
Yep, just hanging around.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny.
I just don't understand how that starts. Is it family history? Who's the first person in this family tree that said, you know what? No clothes in the house.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And, like, I don't know anyone who does this, but I feel like there are people who do. Like,
it's a little bit freeing.
Clearly.
I feel like it's a little bit freeing to do it.
Well, yeah, if you're, like, single or, like, maybe even your wife, I guess, with no kids and no friends are coming over, I think where the line needs to be drawn is when there's, like, people coming over.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe when you have kids. I mean, I'm all for being open with my parents. And, like, I tell them mostly everything, but I don't know. I think there is a thing is too open.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Walking around nude.
Adam and Eve, I get it. Like, they that whole story. You can read that to me for days on end. That doesn't mean I'm going to. It already happened. They ate Johnny Appleseed's apple. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And he plucked it off the tree.
Yeah. So
him and George Washington were. Was that Abe Lincoln? Chopping down the trees.
Yeah, I thought it was George Washington, right? Wasn't
Columbus,
like
Christopher Columbus, sail in the ocean blue.
Who started that rumor that George Washington had wooden teeth? Like, I don't think that's true.
What does that even mean?
Somewhere along the line, a teacher told all of us in America, they started feeding us this thing that George Washington had wooden teeth. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's
someone's great-great-great-grandmother definitely got ghosted by George Washington.
Yeah, facts.
And she was like, she was on Ancestry.com, and she was like, I'm ruining this dude's reputation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wait till they get a load of this one.
Yeah, no.
His teeth were probably just brown. Everyone during that time period, his teeth were brown.
Ancestry.com, you've created a villain here.
Oh, God.
But back to this, it's like, how do you, first off, how do you just do that and see your, I don't know, but also when someone who's in the house comes in and you don't think anything of it, you just strip down and you're like, hey, can you pause Mario Kart for a second? I got to get out of these tidy whities.
I have so many questions because every time I walk into a friend's house, it's just relatively normal. Like there's brothers and sisters and family there. But imagine walking in and everyone's just naked.
The dad is butt naked cooking eggs.
What's just going on? Oh, that's weirder. Yeah. He's
turns
like cooking food.
Turns around. He's like, hey, you want some?
Yeah. You're like eating the eggs. Is a hair in it?
Oh my God!
Oh, dude.
I mean, it's a valid
that is
point.
Gross.
It could happen.
Oh man!
It could happen in theory. That is a good one.
Yeah, that's one that gets
the
scouting.
Naked family.
Yeah,
the naked brothers band.
What do you got up for me? Because that I don't know how anyone's gonna top. That's pretty odd.
Yeah, I got something.
I hope this all makes you guys realize that we're. Your families aren't so crazy as you believe. Like, everyone's like, oh, no, you haven't met five families. No, you haven't met the naked family.
Humans are just so weird.
Yeah.
But I like it because it's entertaining.
I like it to a point. That's a little
odd. Well, no. Yeah. Yes. Don't quote me on liking that.
No. I know.
Here
I know.
We go. All right. So the next one is this one. It is, they found out, all right, so I found out my best friend thought the toilet seat was for kids. He would straight up sit on the rim of the toilet and poop until he found out when we were in college at 22.
College, you found that out? We were talking about this yesterday. The part of the toilet seat that's not the seat, like the part under it, is a sacred spot that no human's buttock should ever touch. Like,
no.
Like, I was talking about ours. Ours has, like, not to get too vulgar, guys.
Don't
has
say it.
Pee.
Just don't.
And, like,
that's it. There's things there that shouldn't be there, but it's okay because there's the toilet seat.
Exactly. That's
there's
my
a protective
point.
Shield.
But why would anyone in their right mind think that's normal? It's cold, probably.
Yeah, it's
like,
frigid.
I don't have any experience with this. But.
Imagine he's in a public restroom doing this.
Oh,
you know
that's a great point too. That's disgusting. The toilet seat in a public restroom is gross, let alone the part under it.
And
I always put the toilet paper down like. I'm putting, like, 10 layers.
And let's think, even when you're a kid, they have the toilet seat that is sort of,
Yeah, smaller. So they just have like a smaller one, but you still are sitting on the toilet.
So what did you think? It was just for abnormally large kids?
That's what I thought too, yeah. I was thinking the same exact thing. Just, why would that just be for kids?
Just 5'9", 13-year-olds that haven't grown into their body?
Yeah. Well, I wish that was our problem.
Yeah, right? I'd love to
13-year-old? Jesus.
Dude, there was some 13-year-olds that were 6'2".
Oh, man.
And you're just, I'm just sitting there, I'm not even 5 foot.
Yeah. No, I know.
Just
it's insane.
Just why did I get dealt the 2 and the 7? This guy's got pocket kings.
You know, we make up for it in a lot of ways.
Would you care to share?
Oh, no. I just think we're like pretty funny. Not as weird as the Naked Family.
Yeah, no. You know what it is? We are definitely unique.
Yeah.
In our comedy and in the way we look at the world.
And I was reading a book like you don't. Oh, sorry.
I like how off the bat we're
no,
just.
No, I was reading a book about like relationships, and it was like you don't want to be like everybody else necessarily.
No,
like girls like it when you're unique.
Yeah,
per se.
I'm a quirky guy.
Yeah.
So back to the toilet seat. Yeah, the dude should probably get checked out by a doctor because there's a chance he has, perhaps an incurable disease.
Yeah, like. Like a prostate infection or something.
Because you know when you maybe eat from a spoon that your dad ate from earlier in the day, you're like, oh, man, I put that out. It's like, oh, those germs. Imagine sitting there and thinking, I did something compromising to my immune system for 22 years. And my fam, I mean, who, when you're in the toilet, it's pretty private. Who's going to tell you?
Yeah, that's a great point. Like drinking.
It's similar to the folding.
Water,
folding your toilet paper. Like, no one's going to be there to tell you. That's something you got to... But go ahead, sorry.
No, you're right, though. Like you should be, like... Your intuition should tell you this is not right.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I like? Like, it's, like, the cheaper toilet seats, but, like, the ones that are, like, soft and not...
Yes.
Not, like, the cold, more expensive ones.
Yes.
Like, I like the ones that are, like, plush and cheap.
They're almost... It's almost a plastic.
Yeah, it's, like, a plastic and foamy, and it's, like, this is nice. This is really nice.
I feel like I get a little cushion.
Yeah,
Rather than my back's getting broken.
Yeah, my back's getting blown out by the neighbor's toilet seat, you know?
The outhouse.
Yeah.
Okay, you take the next reaction.
Okay, yep. We're going on these tangents today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's funny stuff.
So this one's a pretty good one. It says, at every meal, my ex's parents would set a plate on the table for the dog. The dog would sit in a chair and eat at the table with the people.
So I've heard of dogs, maybe you make an extra steak for the dog.
Yeah, I've heard of feeding your dog, like, we feed my dog Italian food. Like, I'm being so serious, like, my dog eats, like, meatballs.
Just gnocchi?
Like, meatball and gnocchi, pasta,
anything.
Does it
mess up his or her stomach?
Our dogs live to 18 or 19, so I'd say
okay.
the dog food diet that we were talking about last week, like, is it, I don't know. Maybe it's an Italian thing, but
it's funny how it all
a little
comes
rat dog that.
It all comes full circle because we were just recently talking about dog pellets. So now we're back and we're talking about the finer echelon of dog eating.
I agree, yeah, because I was talking about how the dog food didn't smell too bad. Like, it smelled like the roast beef.
So I wonder how this is set up, because is he just sitting at the head of the table? You walk into the door and you're like, oh, that's just Walter. He's on his hind legs. He's got a tie on.
Yeah, right? He's, like, dressed in clothes. Oh, don't mind him. He does that often.
He's cutting his own food?
Yeah. I mean,
what does it look
I wonder
like?
If Scooby-Doo sat at the table.
Scrappy did.
Yeah.
Scrappy-Doo did.
Well, yeah, well, Scrappy-Doo at times bested Scooby-Doo, but Scooby-Doo, in the end, prevailed.
Scooby-Doo paved the way for Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah. Scrappy-Doo!
Because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I couldn't hold it in.
Like, Scoob, we gotta get out of here.
Like, Scoob, I'm not eating that dog food.
Like,
hey,
Scoob.
Shaggy.
You
weren't supposed to eat the dog food.
Like, Scoob, I've already eaten half the package. I have rabies now. Yeah. So I don't know how that looks, but I have to imagine it's entertaining.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Out of all the ones we read, that's not the craziest. Like, if I saw that, I would definitely be a little creeped out, but I wouldn't never go back to my friend's house because of that. Like, it'd probably be pretty funny. Like, they're like, yeah, we know this is weird, but, like, you know.
Dogs are soft, though. Imagine not being able to eat chocolate. That's soft.
Yeah, what else can't they eat? Like pork or something?
Chocolate? That's it.
No.
No, there's other things.
There's like pork.
Yeah, dude.
You know, it's funny because I'll watch my dog and like my dog will eat things that are forbidden.
Yeah, dogs are... Yeah. We could do a
big,
whole episode
big
on
dogs.
Dogs
are pretty funny because they'll just eat like plastic and like the couch.
Yeah, they'll be eating the tissues.
Why would you want to eat that? It's not even good. Like, it's
fabric. They can't even control themselves.
No.
Oh, that's funny. All right, should I move into our last one?
Yeah, sure. We're really going on tangents today, but I don't mind that.
No, not at all.
We're just trying to brighten people's day.
Hey, at least try not to darken it after we talked about inflation and financial crises.
Yeah, right, and about how your employers are treating you guys wrong.
So this one says, I babysat for a family on occasion, and the kids would always ask for a cool cup. And I had no clue what it was. They asked for them constantly, but were too little to really describe them enough for me to understand. I mentioned it to the mom in passing one day, and she started laughing, chuckling, and went to the fridge, got two bell peppers, and cut the tops off of them, and took out the seeds, then filled the peppers with tap water.
Mm.
The kids went nuts over them like they were treats.
Ooh, wow.
It was really weird to me that drinking water out of bell peppers was a thing to beg for on the regular.
Yeah, that's a little odd. I'm not going to lie. Like
a bell pepper?
Like a bell pepper, like you just eat them. Like
can't even get them Brita water?
Like if they were putting like ground beef in there and making food with the bell peppers, that's completely normal. But
yeah,
like
sure.
Drinking, why would you waste a good pepper? Like unless they're drinking the water then eating the pepper.
You know what? This is a good at least these parents hacked away to get their kids eating good and healthy.
I was just about to say that cuz they're eyeing up bell peppers like they're candy. That's not bad.
The rates of obesity in America, yeah, it's good news.
Yeah, well, more
kids
are normalizing it.
More kids should be eating cool cups. They should be having cool cups.
I agree. Sorry.
No, I don't even know what I was going to say.
I don't know what I was going to say either. I was about to say, like, let's talk about portion sizes, but I don't even know what the hell that's.
No, I know what you mean because in Italy and in Europe, I mean, they give you small portions.
I was talking to my grandma, and I was, like, asking what they eat because, like, I was just like curious because they're all skinny there. She said,
"Yeah,
like, you know, there's not really." She said, "There's not really any fat people there."
Yeah,
and she's like, "No, like they literally eat pasta and all these foods." And I'm like, "Well, how the hell can they eat all that and be skinny? I don't understand it. Like, it has to be portion sizes, something, right? Maybe they do more exercise than the average American, but how, right?
Yeah,
show us the secret.
Yeah, give me the secret.
I don't know.
I think, you know what, Chris? I feel like you're gonna come back from Italy this summer
and be like 5 pounds lighter, but have eaten
your
shit.
Stomach's gonna be smaller.
Yeah, I agree."
Because
now, bear in mind, I'll be doing a lot of touring around, so that's a lot of walking.
Yes.
So that could definitely be due to that, but.
And that could be it. It's just way nicer.
That might be what it is.
It's way nicer there, so you spend more time outside.
That's a great point, yeah.
The more time you spend outside, especially nicer weather, the more you sweat, the more you want to exercise, the
happier
you feel.
Like, they're looking at the Colosseum or, like, Lake Como, and I walk outside my house, and I'm staring at a concrete building half built or being knocked down.
Yeah.
You know?
It's unreal. I mean, you look out my window, it's literally bricks.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
I'm leaning over.
You open the window, and I hear the damn AC unit next door.
I'm leaning over my desk to try to get some sort of visual aesthetic pleasure.
Yeah, no, you're not
lying.
And
all it is a backyard.
I can't even open my window because we don't have a screen, and I don't, Lord knows what animals will come in my room.
Yeah, last week we tried to open up the downstairs window, and 40 flies just start making their way downtown.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
What can we do besides
I'd say about once a week, I have like an air unit in my room, and a bird flies in it and goes absolutely berserk and wakes me up at like 6:30 a.m. I'm not making
that's
this
terrible.
Up. It happens like all the time.
Yeah, one time you're sitting there, you're like, hey, there's a bird in my AC unit.
Yeah, and then I guess it flew out. They just fly out. But it's pretty terrifying because I think it's going to get in.
I say we start the change in America. Everyone gets a cool cup. That should be the new treat. Halloween, you're handing out cool cups, bell peppers with water in them.
Yeah,
and
you know what? I was going to say this is a weird one, but honestly, if it normalizes vegetables and gets American obesity, we take that shit down.
We take it down?
Yeah.
Then
we're all for it.
Sign me up!
Bell peppers and cups. Bell pepper cup.
And tap water.
Yeah, and tap water.
Lead in the tap water is really good for you.
Hello?
What?
Oh, okay. They weren't supposed to come for another 15. Okay, so our sponsors are
here?
Yeah,
I don't really know what their pronouns are. They really aren't really anything.
Okay, yeah. They're almost holograms. So,
yeah.
Okay, one of them entered the room without our consent. Sir, if you could please just relax. Could you
put that down?
Dude, get out of it. Dude, what are you doing? Howdy, folklore.
We are back, better than ever, on the You Would Get It, But Not Really, But Maybe blogcast.
After 30 days of out-of-school suspension enforced by the co-hosts of the show.
And we spent this time constructing the greatest NFT project known to man. We present
the Rural East Bumble Farmland Barn NFT Collection.
NFT standing for Non-Feasible Turkey Leg.
Our first piece of digital art is a doozy. We have Farmer Brown pictures scaling the barn roof, pitchfork in hand, trying to take down Remus Lupin as a werewolf, preventing him from violently mauling his flock of sheep. All Wild G stands alone.
Next up, we have an abstract masterpiece by the renowned artist whose surname is Newt. Using Thad Castle's jungle juice and the bones of his elders, Newt was able to create a piece that resembles the Hunchback of Notre Dame's rise to hierarchical power in the 1400s in the light, but in the dark, looks like the famous Mona Lisa, except the individual pictured in the Count of Monte Cristo if you squint hard enough.
And finally, the main piece, currently valued at $700 trillion, is a fresco set of Newt's Conqueror's Jimmy Neutron Treehouse, made by none other than the duo of Zach Galifianakis and Pablo Picasso's right-handy man, Thurgood Marshall.
The piece is titled
Autoportrait de Triton, photographed sous le déportier de la Grande Fortress de Tallahassee.
So get your bids ready, as these pieces will fly off the market.
Head to Newt.com/NFT to get in the waiting line digitally.
Any thoughts, Newt?
Newt! Newt! You heard them, folks. Check out the
Rural East Bumble Farmland Barn NFT and Fish Boot Collection.
Howdy, folks. Ciao.
All righty, folks. Folklore, I guess.
Folklorington.
Did you try? Bro, I cannot.
Dude, we got to get those guys out of the room. they're nuts, those dudes.
Nah, it's just because, like, I'm not even sure what this is becoming.
Yeah.
This show, but I don't know either.
We realize we need to go back to our roots and hire those country guys because everyone always seems to love them the best.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. But
we got to work on our country accents. But
something that we don't, I don't know how I was going to make that transition. We have our Fan 5 now.
Why do we call it the Fan 5? We need to change the name of it.
Because the fans...
Let's just call it...
The fans, because the fans write in questions and we answer them.
Yeah, but why the Fan 5? We ask one question. Like, why not just the fan questions?
Fan
like,
5 minutes. Because we usually do only spend 5 minutes on it.
But what's that called? We'll just call it listeners' questions.
Listeners' questions. I like that. All right, guys. Apparently that was so hard to do, but it is called Listener's Questions from here on out.
Well, I just think it's so ambiguous at Fan 5. Like, now people are like, oh, we can ask questions.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. So this is Listener's Questions. The one that we got today is if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Great question, actually.
I feel like I'm not in the mindset to answer this.
No, I don't think we are either. But that's a great question.
Okay, let me...
Me or you?
I would, let's see, 18-year-old self, I would first tell myself to...
It was only 4 years ago.
I know.
But with that said, those 4 years feel like an eternity.
Yes.
And I feel like in 4 years I've learned so much.
About myself, about the world.
Everything.
I would say yes to more things responsibly. It's an answer I use a lot, but it's so true.
No, that's completely fair.
You really don't... The price of saying yes is so cheap often, but the rewards that you can get can be plentiful.
Yeah, I agree.
Just by showing up. By showing up or saying, yeah, I got you. Someone needs help for half a day on a film set. Yeah, I got you. All of a sudden, you know, their career is starting to go up and they're bringing you. It's like, say yes to more things and be less scared to say yes to those things.
Yeah, and you can, like, learn things about yourself you might not have previously. You might not have known you liked something until you said yes to something. Or you could meet some really cool and interesting people just by saying yes to something.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that a lot.
Exactly. What do you have in mind?
Yeah, I was thinking about something like kind of focused on, like, doing what makes you happy and not what others are happy. Like, sometimes my parents will do this, but I know a lot of people who do. Like, their parents will want them to be this or that, and, like, they'll try doing that, but they just don't actually want to be that. So, like, they don't have that passion for it, and they're not happy with life. Like, me, I've had, like, the ability to just do whatever I want, and, like, I'm so much happier for like that. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like, if your intuition is telling you, I feel like I should really be doing this or that instead, do it. Like, you're so young.
Yes.
Especially if you're around our age, like, just go after it, let alone any age, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, a sub-point I wanted to hit on is I also like to tell my 18-year-old self to not care what other people think. We always talk about this, but that's something I've gotten over in my 20s and, like, I feel like has been a huge impact in my life.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to make art, which art has such a broad definition, it's just really the creations of humans.
Literally, the creation of anything.
To make art, to make something artful, it's like you have to listen to exactly what your self is telling you. There's no other way. You can't cater to what people might want to see. You have to be, okay, this is everything I gave into this. Because think about movies that, I mean, I always go to movies, but think about movies that you're like, man, that was really profound. you'll read about it, and the studio didn't get involved that much and wasn't like, hey, we need to do all of this to accomplish what we want. It was more about, hey, we see your vision, and we want to bring you on because we believe in it.
I agree. Yeah.
And you need to be that person for yourself in the short term, I guess, or the beginning of things. But I don't know, man, because we talk about this all the time. Your 18-year-old self, the stuff that we've experienced over the last 4 years, in a way has shaped us.
Dude, when you're 18, you're in this bubble. Like we went to a small Catholic school, mm-hmm. and you're just in this bubble of, like, you're just like, oh, like, I can take on the world.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? You think you're the shit. Yeah. And then you go to college, or whatever you do, you go start your career, and it really humbles you because, like, you realize you're, like, a little, like, speckle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And but it's...
You need that, I think.
It's humbling in many ways because you realize, okay, what I do maybe doesn't matter right now.
Yeah.
So I can get myself to a point where what I do does matter. At the same time, it still won't actually matter that much if
I agree.
You fail.
Yeah. And, like, life will carry on with or without you. So it's, like, kind of up to you at that point. Like, you're not the shit. The world doesn't revolve around you. You're not the CEO of some company.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do now to, you know, leave your mark?
Yeah, I would say I would also tell my 18-year-old self to spend more time with myself. Because
yeah, I like that a lot.
You know, because how sort of the course of my life has gone on. When I was 18, went to Temple, right? And you sort of get caught up in the first thing that I guess makes you feel like you have purpose, which was business, which was being in the business school and I guess chasing some things in that area.
Sorry, the chairman is like I think Crispy's dumbass like lowered it. It's all like, I feel like I'm like a little boy next to you.
No,
so I was like trying to raise it, but screw it. You know what? Today, I'll be your child.
So back to what I was saying. Spend more time with yourself because you can get caught up in things that you don't actually want to do very easily because other people want to do them and they set them up well.
That is a great point. Yeah. Because the people you surround yourself with, you tend to draw, you know, like their interest into yours. Like, you know what I mean? You kind of do what they do. That could be anything. Like, that could be like drinking every weekend.
Yeah.
Like, if your friends do it, there's a good chance you might. And but you don't have to do that.
No.
Right? Like, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Luckily, me and you are pretty similar. So we have like each other to like cling on to when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you're right. Like, throughout life, you're not always going to have someone to cling on to. So you really do have that independent choice to, if you don't want to go out on a Friday night and your friends are begging, like, you have free will to say no.
Yes.
Right?
It's all about, and it gets muddled with comparison and stuff.
It does. And Snapchat stories and social media and all this fake things that you see people having fun, you're like, oh, I wish I was there. But maybe you really don't.
Do you have anything else to say to this question?
No, not really. We were just kind of diving deep
in. We're going to merge right in to our philosophy segment because the question that I brought this week actually for philosophy was...
Yeah, it kind of does have to do with what we're talking about.
What does it mean to know/understand yourself?
Hmm.
So I say we continue with what we were saying, I think that self, like, I talk about it all the time with the self-reflection time. Matthew McConaughey says a great thing during his Oscar speech before he really gets into the meat of it.
One of the best Oscar speeches I ever heard.
He says, one of the best speeches, really.
Yeah, I agree.
He says, if I got God, I got a friend, and that friend is me.
Yep.
And it's like,
it's a very powerful sentiment and statement right
you
there,
need
right?
to be for yourself because no one else is going to be able to be for yourself as much as you are.
That's such a great point. And no one's gonna care as much you want to say about yourself as much as yourself, like, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, your family will, but I don't know how. I think there's like a different way I'm trying to word this.
Yeah, I think with go ahead.
No, I heard a great quote last week. I think I sent it to you. It was like, we care so much about what other people think,
yeah,
even though, like, we're putting in all the work and, like, all these things to, like, you should really just care what you think about yourself because it really is, you know, true. You know
it was
I mean?
That Marcus,
like,
Aurelius quote, which
it really
said,
was.
Which said, it's fascinating to me. We love ourselves more than anyone else on the earth, but we care about other people's opinions more than our own.
That's what it was. And that is a fascinating, we talk about this all the time. Marcus Aurelius was born when? After Jesus or before? It was after, right?
After.
Yeah, but I mean, not too long after.
I don't know when exactly.
I'll look it up. But this man, like, to say that carried true to today is insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and it just shows how human nature, 121
AD. 121
AD. 100 years
and
after.
And it still holds up true today before and after is just insane. And that's so true, right?
I think it's because humans are just biologically programmed to be sort of not this, I mean, we're an insecure species because things are constantly changing. So I think to know yourself, you don't have to know what's going to happen next, but you should know your past. You should be you should have your finger wrapped around what your past was and how it affected you, so you're aware of that. But then you should also be aware of how changes in your life make you feel and what you love most, and all that is accomplished through reflection and just sitting there and being like, okay, distractions taken away. Who actually am I? Because the reality is we're putting on a mask no matter what we do.
Yeah, no, and like what we were getting to at that point in the quote was that, like,
yeah,
if I allowed people to judge me off like what they know about me, there's a lot of mistakes I probably made along the way. But like those mistakes have taught me the biggest lessons and kind of shaped me into who I am today. And I know who I am today. I'm very comfortable in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if I allowed people to like judge me off of one thing I did in my past, like I would never be able to move forward.
No.
You know what I mean? Like I consider myself to be a better person than like 95% of people.
You know
what I mean?
It's all about that just if you can get better, that's your number one responsibility.
Exactly.
That's your number one goal, is to get better.
I've learned more from failing at things than succeeding at
things.
Oh my gosh. Like the biggest lessons in life.
I mean, let's be real. This podcast isn't a failure, but we want to take it to higher levels.
Yeah.
And we're not exactly where we want to be yet. So the amount that we learn on a weekly basis is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yeah.
And I think that something also about knowing yourself and understanding yourself is what makes you truly, truly feel good. Not talking about, I mean, external substances. If you were in a room with yourself for 72 hours, which is tough, but what would you do to make yourself happy? So it's this thing that I heard a quote about, and I'm not sure if it's a quote or just sort of a mantra, which is, you need to get good at feeling good.
I like that quote a lot, and it's so true.
That's one of the best skills that you can take on in your life, because if you're good at feeling good, immediately other people know when you feel good, it projects off, and you're just a better person for it. You think better, you perform better, you treat other people better.
Dude, finding that thing that makes you happy is so, so important. And it doesn't need to be one thing. Like, I've learned, like, I would love to sit around and watch movies all day, but that's not going to just make me happy. I would love to sit around and read all that. That's not the, but doing all those things combined, like, I think we're the same. We're goal-oriented, and, like, I like checking off tasks in a day.
Yep.
So, like, doing a little bit of everything in the day genuinely makes me happy. Like, I like to try to fit in a movie every other day or so.
Yeah.
What's it called? Like, read a little bit of book, do my schoolwork, go to work. Like, do all those things. And, like, combined, I feel kind of fulfilled in a day. Maybe not work as much, but, like, you know, 9-to-5 work. But, like, you know what I'm saying. Like,
but that's okay. Taking on that job to fund your dreams is okay.
Too much of anything, I feel like, is my point.
Everything in moderation. And and you need to structure your day. There's also this idea of structuring your day in four quarters. So there's the morning.
I like that, yeah.
Midday, afternoon, and night. And just because you have a bad morning.
Yep.
Doesn't mean, you know, there's comeback stories all the time in sports.
Yeah.
There's people who are down 20 at halftime and they come back and win the game.
Cleveland Cavaliers were down 3-1 in the series and came back.
Exactly. So you need to treat, if you treat your days like that, and also, like you said, I love having a diverse day. I think diversity.
That's my point. A diverse day.
In a day is so fulfilling because you sit at the end of the day and you think, man, look at all that I learned, look at all that I experienced, and look at all that I improved at.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
And then you made a great point about the movies. Making time for, not to turn your brain off, because I love analyzing movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, we really don't turn our brains off during movies.
But when the pressure isn't on you to produce,
yes,
you need those times of the day.
I do. I do agree to that.
You know?
And then one other point. So back to the question, like, what does it mean to know / understand yourself?
Yeah.
I also wrote here, like, I wanted to talk about, like, being okay with just being by yourself. I've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were kind of hinting on it earlier, hitting upon it earlier, like, being okay with solitude.
Yeah.
Like, I said, like, I love being around people. Like, people, it's great to be around people.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people struggle to be by themselves during the day, or, like, even for, like, a period of time, where, like, as I consider myself to be a person who, like, I can be a hermit crab sometimes and be completely fine with that. Like,
yeah.
And just be with myself and my conscience and just sit there. A lot of people can't do that, and I actually think that's a problem. So, like, if you suffer by that, I think taking some time to just get away and just, like, learn more about yourself is really cool. Like, I've learned what makes me happy, and it's made my life infinitely better. And that's just through, like, going through breakups, with friends, girlfriends, whatever, and just, like, learning about yourself throughout that time is very important, I think.
I agree. There's...
Not that having a girlfriend isn't great, right?
No, yeah,
or
yeah.
Or a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm just saying to be able to not rely on them is very important because there's potential, just potential, that they're not always going to be there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And most of the world's problems are a result of people not being able to sit alone with their thoughts. Mm. It really is. And
I agree. You know what else I heard that was really cool? I heard it was like a quote, but I don't know the quote. But what they were saying was, a lot of us can stop talking and hear the other person, like hear the other person. But are you actually listening to the other person when you stop talking? Or you just stop talking so you're not talking over them? Like, that's something I'm trying to work on lately.
Yeah.
Like when we talk to each other and like we'll stop and listen, but are you actively listening to what you're actually saying? Does that make sense?
No,
like,
it does.
I think
a lot
of people in debates, that's very common. Like, the opposing person will stop talking, but they're not truly listening to what the opposing person's saying.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to hear what they want to say next.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And if you can get to a point where you're actively listening, I truly believe that people can sense that immediately when you're actively listening to them.
Agreed.
And that's how you fix any problem in your way. That's how you find a solution.
100%.
Because if you want to go to a Phillies game Saturday and I want to go Friday, if you just keep saying the reasons you want to go Friday and I want to keep saying the reasons I want to go a different day,
yeah, it's not.
We're never going to figure it
I
out.
Agree.
But if I listen to you, okay, you can't do Saturday, I can't do Friday. How is Sunday? That's a very easy example.
Yeah, no, I get your entire point, though. Like, this is a problem with a lot of relationships today.
Yeah.
Right? I think both people, even if they are hearing each other out, they're not truly listening to what the other person's saying, right? Like, the other person's saying their point, and you're saying your point, but you two aren't actually listening to what the real problem is here. Like we just said in that basic example, right?
I think it's really important to, if you can, even if there's a little whiteboard that you have, if you're ever in a argument with a spouse or a close friend or anyone really, if you write down what you think the argument is about, 9 times out of 10, it will be completely different to what they believe the argument's about.
I like that a lot, yeah. Like, any next relationship I get in, I think communication
is
going
to
be the biggest thing.
And it's tough.
Yeah, we could sit around all day and tell each other, you know, what the problem is, but if we're not listening and paying attention to it, then what's really the point?
Yeah, I agree.
We went on a tangent, like, way down the line,
but I
like the deep conversations.
Same here. My last point about moderation is, and I guess I'll wrap this up with what I think about this, and you can do the same,
sure,
is just finding the balances of things that you enjoy in your life, having confidence to respect your own opinion, because, right, you know the most about yourself, and executing with them, and because we're humans are creatures that, for whatever reason, we think we're a lot smarter than we are. I'll sit and say, oh, I'm fine just working all day. I'm not. I have to get outside and see other things. I have to have a diverse day. So finding the balances of everything that you like and executing on them, I think, is how you understand and know yourself.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, back to what I was saying earlier, to understand and know yourself, I think you got to take time away and genuinely just, like, sit and, what's that called? Reflect and just kind of think, like, what makes me happy? Am I this type of person, introvert, extrovert? Just, like, kind of literally get to understand yourself. It sounds so dumb.
Yeah.
But we get in this repetitive cycle of just waking up and just doing things and not genuinely understanding yourself, which is a crazy concept, but it's true.
But it's so important because other people can also sense when you understand yourself, because that means that, I mean, you think of the 48 Laws of Power, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yep.
It's like when you can be alone with yourself and you're not jumping to whatever everyone else is doing, people will respect you more, and therefore you can attract the people that you want into your life.
I agree, and I think you can get through anything in life if you can handle a situation on your own sometimes. I know it sounds like counterintuitive because you hear a lot of times, like, no, you should always have a shoulder to lean on, but I just think if you can handle tough times just by yourself, like, you can do anything.
Yes.
Literally anything, like a strong will and mind.
Problem solving, figure it out yourself, or at least take the stab at doing it. It's something I'm still working on, too.
Me, too. Yep. That was a fire philosophy segment.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah. We went all over the place, but I hope you guys took some away from that.
What do we got next?
Yeah, so we have our top fives this week, guys. Now we're going to get a little lighthearted and funny again. We're back. That was Jiminy Cricket and our deep Marcus Aurelius minds thinking.
Yeah.
Our little Socrates in us. Our top fives this week, we have awkward / secondhand embarrassment situations.
Yeah. The situations where you just cringe, it's very awkward, or you get secondhand embarrassment for someone else doing something.
Yeah, I think it's mostly awkward, awkward embarrassing situations.
Though. Yeah, awkward embarrassing situations.
Yeah.
All right. Top five.
Who's doing this week? I think you did. I think I went last week first. You go first.
Okay. All right. So I'll go 5-1 real quick, guys. This is the awkward / embarrassing situations top five. My number five is saying what's up to someone or acknowledging them, maybe throwing a wave, and you get no response.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times this has happened.
It's just unreal. We can't catch a light.
And the best part is I know for a fact, like, they know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just think you're, like, too cool, or did you really not see me? I can never figure this out. This is one of the greatest mysteries this planet has to offer. Really.
One thing that I try to do is if I see someone I know at the gym, I try to go up to them right away and just say hi, because it alleviates so much awkward tension.
Yeah. No. I get that 100%. I don't do that, but I get your...
But oftentimes I fail at doing it because I'm like... Because then you get in your head and you're like, oh, should I go up and say, oh, did they see me wave? Did they see me wink? I don't know.
Yeah, I was here on the side of like, I'm just going to work out at the gym. But in other places, I could see that being very.
Yeah, because you don't want that awkward tension to happen.
Yeah, but I hate when that happens. Like, it really does happen too often to me.
Yeah. You're like waiting for the perfect situation, scenario, like perfect time to say what's up to them. That's another great point. Like,
you're waiting for them to do it, but they're probably waiting for you too.
Yeah.
So it's like that like weird.
You're both waiting for the perfect time.
Flashing thing. Like,
oh, it's awkward. It's making my skin crawl just talking about it. My number four is when you're showing someone a video or a movie that you recommended and you instantly start justifying it.
Yeah, like you're 5 minutes in, you're like, just wait, it's coming. It's gonna get better.
It gets so much better. Just wait for the I won't tell you, but wait for the explosion at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, did you see that? Did you pick up on that?
And you're like looking over at them, you're like, so on your phone a lot during the movie.
Yeah,
is there something
exactly.
Wrong with
and
it?
you're like, dude, like relax, man. I'm just trying to watch the movie.
Yeah. It's tough recommending something to someone because you're talking it up a lot. So what I try to do now is just say, yo, you want to watch this movie? I heard it was good.
Yeah. No, I don't even talk about movies now because every time I do that, the person's always just like, usually it's not living up to the
hype. Usually it's a disappointment.
It really is, yeah. But I think that's because it happens to everyone because we get our excitement up when someone hypes it up.
Yeah.
And then it's just like never can meet that.
No.
It's like almost like when you go away, you have like a vacation coming up, and then you go on it, and you were so excited for it, then you're there.
Yeah.
And in the moment, you're like, this is fun, but not as fun as my head was telling me it was going to be.
Anticipation is 80% of
it. It's the most fun. I can't explain it.
It's good. Anticipation is great because we romanticize it in our heads.
Exactly. You romanticize everything, and it just never lives up.
It's a sad life, hard knock life.
It's a hard knock.
My number three is when everyone's rushing to leave the Zoom meeting.
That's become a real problem since 2020, right?
You'll be like, guys, thanks for coming out. It was great to have you.
See you, professor.
And everyone's like, bye, professor. And then everyone's clicking.
And if you're the last one in there, it's always awkward because you feel like, they're like, damn, like she caught me. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Or when you see the thing that says the host has ended the meeting, you're like, guess I'm not quick enough.
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, sometimes I'll like be in a class Zoom and I'll just walk downstairs and come back and that happens. And I just know
you feel like a scumbag.
Yeah, you really do. You just ruined their day. They just taught a whole lesson. Because
the
like,
professor
great.
Probably went like, oh, Christian, do you have another question?
Yeah, and it's just, like just no response, cameras off, or an empty chair.
They're like, right. Guess what I'm saying is no.
No merit.
Yeah. My number two is when everyone's singing happy birthday to you, and you're just sitting there watching the candles, really.
Oh, man. That's the most awkward, maybe one of the most awkward times I ever just like feel really bad anxiety. Because I don't know. We were never taught what you're supposed to do. Like, do I smile really awkwardly?
Do I sing along?
It? Yes. Do I sing it? I literally can't explain it.
The only more
anxiety I get than that is thinking about some time I did something really cringy. That's the only time I'm ever have more like anxiety / anxiousness than someone singing happy birthday to me.
Living something that you did cringy back in your mind is honestly one of the worst experiences ever. That's why you just gotta like move on from it.
Yeah, no. I always just like sing it and just like make goofy faces. Like I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You just gotta do something that isn't sitting there like, meep.
Yeah.
You
know? Blow your candles out. Make a wish.
Okay. Here I go. Yeah, it's a tough one when everyone's singing happy birthday to you.
That one's
and all their eyes are on there like, happy birthday. And you're like,
I just move on. I hate that one so much.
My number one might even be worse. It's when you see someone on the toilet through the crack as you enter the bathroom, or when you're on the opposite end.
Yeah, and you like you don't see anything like gross. Like you don't get that great of a visual, but you just like,
it's the eye contact.
You'll almost make eye contact. You see them like someone's on the toilet. You see like their like leg or something. You're like, and
it's so quick.
Yeah,
because
really
you're walking
is.
By and you see them like.
Yeah, literally. They make
and they're
mess.
In the worst position.
Or when you're on
possible.
The opposite end and someone comes in, like I get like toilet shy.
Yeah, you know what? In Japan or I forget. I think it's in Japan. They have white noise in bathrooms.
And it's always Sunny in Philadelphia. They have like a joking episode where they do that. Like they build up like full on barriers in between, and then they have white noise playing. But then they're like, wait, how's the smell gonna get out? Like it's like that. That's the joke of the episode.
Yeah, because it gets rough when you're sitting there and thinking. This other person's in here, and I don't know how long I can hold this in.
Yeah, no. As I get older, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, honestly.
That's that thing people talk about. Like, they're like, no, getting older is great. You just don't care anymore.
But it is mad funny. One time I saw someone that I actually knew, but not well enough to bring the situation up to them through the stall. And we both made eye contact, and it was just, it's tough.
Really tough. That's really awkward then, yeah. I was at work the other day, and, like, my boss, like this guy above me came in. And I was in the bathroom, and I recognized the shoes next to my stall.
I did that yesterday, too.
And I literally was sitting there, I was like, oh, man, I'm just going to hold this in. Like, the best part was I was standing because I was actually on my phone. So then I ended up, to make it less awkward, I put toilet paper down and sat down. But all right, that was pretty good.
You ever be going to the stalls just to pee?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah.
What's the point of a urinal, honestly?
The urinal at the Philadelphia, like the Eagle Stadiums are the worst because, like, I don't want to get too vulgar, but for the ladies who don't know... They're just open. Like, you pretty much just have, like, your junk out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It's just an open showing. It's
and some dudes love it.
Yeah, some dudes love it. Like, I'm in the middle. I'm like, all right, like, just stare straight ahead. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, no barriers in between. It's just... Now, that's some stuff like that one family probably is into.
Yeah.
Some naked family.
Some dudes are like, all right, men at their finest. Let's
Time
do it.
Time to show them something.
And I'm like, man, can I just, like... check my text.
No bubble blowing, baby.
It really is. It really
is.
It's
like some scene like that. All right, guys. My top five awkward / secondhand embarrassment situations. My number five, watching a sex scene with your parents.
Mm.
Dude, I'd be in my head telling myself it's normal. I'm like, it's okay. Like, you're an adult now. It's not weird. But just still, for some reason, it's just slightly weird.
Yeah. It's just like, because... Nowadays in movies, the sound design is so good.
It's so good.
So
and
you
like,
don't miss
the
a thing.
Picture's so vivid. And yeah, it's just like...
And you're just like...
It's not weird. It's just
not.
It just feels weird.
Yes.
But it shouldn't. Like, I can't explain it.
Yes, I agree.
I think parents and kids can attest to that, right?
Yes, for sure. For sure. It's
That's a funny one, though.
Makes your skin crawl.
My number four, when you clog the toilet somewhere that wasn't your house.
Dude.
You're at a buddy's house, and you just had to drop a number two. And you're like questioning, like, I don't know if this is going to go down. And it really doesn't. And there's no plunger in sight. You're like, what am I going to do? Am I going to scoop this out? Like, what the hell do I do? Oh, there's a plunger.
Yeah.
Like,
they're in the kitchen.
They're like knocking on the... Yo, you okay in there?
Yeah, 1 second.
Great. I think that's it. I'm just fishing your sink out. Some hair got down here. Like, oh, yeah, that happens. Don't worry.
I've once gotten to the point where...
Snake in the drain.
Where it's overflown.
I've never gotten to that point, but I know people who have.
And what do you do besides sit there and watch it fall? It's like watching Rome fall.
And it's always the dads that have to clean it up. And they're like, great, my day off, I got to clean up shit. You know?
It's great. It's great.
That's
and
funny.
Yeah, it's really a bad life experience.
My number three is a really good one. My number three is when you're next in line at the grocery store with your mom, and she leaves you to just get one more thing, and the anxiety and awkwardness builds up when you're up and she's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Dude, you'll be 10 years old, and you're like sitting there, like, shaking in your boots.
There's $250 worth of consumer goods in my cart, and I'm 10.
Yeah, no, literally. And some reason, moms always like to do this when you're second up. Like, you're bad to be up. They're like, oh, forgot the beans. and then they're going to get them.
Oh, we needed honey.
Yeah, meanwhile, beans are in aisle 48, and we're on aisle 2.
And she's taking her good old time, and you're sitting there tapping, what are we doing?
You got
I don't got a credit
saying,
card.
Honey, how are you going to pay for this?
I don't know. Toss it.
Maybe you take box tops.
Because I got those.
Because I got... Goku cards.
Goku.
Pokemon cards.
Dude, it really is awful. Because
I've never... That's actually the number one most anxiety I ever felt is that.
They're just staring at you like, honey, what's it going
to
be?
Yeah. To this day, I could afford it, and I still don't want to do it because I'm just nervous
for
some reason.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, I love that one so much. I should have made that my one almost. My number two, when your friend gets yelled at by their parents and you're just standing there awkwardly.
No, this is a good one.
This is a really good one. Like, I think we all, everyone in this planet has had this happen.
Do you remember having to go up to...
Planet Mars has probably had this happen.
Your friend and be like, hey, can you ask my mom if you can sleep over?
Yes, yes, because you know, like, you got to kind of guilt trip them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The mom's going to
say like, your
yes
cousins, you have your cousins doing it.
Yeah, and... But the worst is when you're in the basement and they like, Jimmy, get up here. And you're sitting there twiddling your thumb.
Don't you ever ask them.
And you're just sitting in the basement and you're like, yep, okay. And you just hear them getting their absolute, they're just getting dogged
by
their parents.
Why did parents say no? Would they get a rush from it? Who gives a shit?
I don't know. Yeah, right?
Like, literally, I'd be ecstatic if I had kids and someone wanted to take them in.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Take them for the week.
Yeah, what's going on?
But yeah, like when like the dad or mom, either one, is just absolutely yelling. And my dad doesn't really yell much, but occasionally, and you're it's just humility. Either way, when you're either on the end of it getting yelled at, or you're in front of your friend's parents and you're like,
yeah,
you're like, buddy, listen, it happens to me too. It's okay. And they're like, he normally doesn't act like this. My dad's just being a little crazier today than usual.
Yeah, you go back downstairs and immediately the kid that's on the couch is just looks at you like and you're like, nope, it was nothing.
Dude.
You're just having fun.
At this point, your buddy's putting a hammer through the wall. I'm going to fuck. You know, he's like telling you crazy shit. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill my dad. Yeah. You're like, yeah, dude, relax, man. All you did was leave the pizza out.
Yeah.
You're and like, now, no, they don't respect me. They don't have any respect.
This is your place. This is your area.
You're like, dude, relax. It's not that serious. Like, it happens. No, you don't get it.
You've only been here once.
Bro, that's one of my favorite ones. All right, my number one. This is one of my favorite situations I've ever been in because it's happened to me multiple times.
Yeah.
My number one, when your boy and his girl are arguing and you hear his girl say, or boy, I'm going to crash this car.
And you're in the back seat.
You're like, wait, let me pull over. Let me out.
Bus like, stop here.
He's like, shut the hell up. Let me handle this.
He's like, great, all right, yeah. Do you see this ravine right here? Let's just go right into it. Yeah. You're like, whoa!
He's like, why do I care anymore? I'll kill all of us. You're like, wait, not me, just
you're
you
like,
two.
All of us, because I'm not in this argument. I'll help mediate. In fact, I can be the mediator for the argument.
She's like, what, you don't think I'm insane? No, we do. Pull over. Let
me out here.
Let release me out.
Yeah. Dude, this is the worst, because you're just in the back, you're like singing, you're like,
oh. I'm singing in the rain.
So here's my number. Call me maybe. You're like, hey, can you turn the aux up a bit? Not now, Jim!
Leave it be!
Here we go! Here's a ramp!
You want in on this?
You probably, yeah, dude. It gets rough because they're just... Because you can't really say anything about their relationship.
No,
because
no.
Deep down...
It's always the ones that have, like, the worst relationship ever when this happens.
Deep
like,
down,
you
you're
break
like...
Break up, bro.
Deep down, you're like, man... I'm not going to say it now, but he should break up.
Yeah,
or
like,
she
you
should
really
break
should
up.
Break up. Like, this isn't normal. Bro, like, that's like they're arguing about the way, like, you entered the car all, like, angry.
Yeah,
dude,
exactly.
What do you mean? I just failed my calculus test.
Right. Well, you're about to fail.
You're about to fail at life when we're in a ditch.
I'm going to fail my driver's test, I guess. Bro, that's funny.
Oh, man. What a great way to end the pod. I love that.
Yeah. Oh. That is a great way. An even better way.
Might be the best top five ever.
It might actually be. It might be. So I'm just going to get right into it. This is a quote by Shakespeare that I'm going to end this episode with. It's a short one. Shakespeare said, there's nothing either objectively good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Take care, everyone.
See you guys next week.